Glory to God. Well, we're going to go over this morning. We're back into our teaching. Scriptures we have been using in our teaching from 3 John, the second chapter, which was from the King James verse, and the second verse. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And the Lord had me title it "Above All Things." And we're teaching in these areas, and we've been talking about the areas of prosperity and on the areas dealing with faith, using our faith. It's number one, we need to understand this. It doesn't matter what God wants to do. Anything that God wants to do, we must respond to it by faith for it to take place. No matter how much he wants to do it. No matter how much Mike was reading this morning in the scriptures. It's the will of God that all men be saved. Well, there's one thing about it. If a person don't respond by faith, they ain't getting saved. It's just that simple. Even though it's God's will and God wants them to happen. Jesus died on the cross for everybody. Well, is everybody saved? Now, we do have doctrines today. There's people preaching who are even spirit-filled ministers now starting to say, you know, everybody's going to be saved. Everybody is. They're getting over talking this nonsense. They're preaching these devilish doctrines. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes preaching that stuff. Because it ain't going to turn out well. But we're dealing with the areas of faith, so we respond by faith to God. So we have our part, the part that we play. And we look to the areas of faith, and number one is like, you know, we talk Mark 11, 23 and 24 is really the foundation concerning faith. It's a wonderful foundational scripture. Mark 11, 24 is with Kenneth E. Hagin as a 16-year-old boy got up off of the deathbed through faith in that scripture. He operated in that scripture. He had an incurable heart disease, and then he had a couple blood diseases and stuff and things that he had. He had a deformed heart. The doctor told him he was born because he was immature. His lungs and stuff, things never developed. And the man turned around and got healed at 16 years old using faith. And then grown-ups sit around and say, well, you know, God doesn't always want to heal. No, I don't want to, you know, just by word. 16-year-old boy believes God and the rest of the church, a bunch of idiots. You know, it's amazing. He just decided that he was going to believe what the Bible said over what anybody else says. One of the greatest failures that many people deal with is they're always concerned of what somebody else said. Once I know a revelation from the Bible, I don't care if the biggest name preacher in the world says different. I don't care. It don't bother me in the least. I ain't walking with him. Once I got the revelation, I don't care what they preach. Once I know that God said something, and once I understand it, that God said it, and it doesn't matter. Over the years, I've had people come to me, well, so-and-so said, who cares? What did the Bible say? Everybody's wondering, well, he has a big ministry, or this person. I don't give a rip what they got. My words. All kind of sinners got loads of money. So we're going to listen to them just because they're big and they got a lot? People are impressed by it. It's learning this. Is once God gives you a revelation, you walk in that revelation. You prove that revelation out. You walk and live in it. You don't wait and start questioning the revelation God gives you based upon what others are saying around you that don't line up with the scriptures. Doesn't matter what they say. It don't matter what they seem like they have or what they're doing. It does not matter. What matters is you walking in the revelation that God has given you. That's what you have to do. You've got to walk in that revelation. Prove it out. You know? And many times people have things revealed to them, but they never walk in it because others aren't walking in it, and others say other things or do other things. And I just learned, God shows me something. And I know it's God, and I can see it from a scriptural standpoint, and this is one thing. Anytime God has ever revealed something to me in the scriptures, I could, outside of another saying a certain scripture, I could always take that principle he showed me, and I could always go to the Bible, and I can find it there. It's there, the principles laid out in the scriptures. And that's what you look to. You don't go around asking everybody else their opinion on it. That's what a lot of people do. They go, you know, if they hear something, then they contact somebody else or do something else to find out, what does this person think of it? What does that person think of this? All you do is put yourself and you live in wonderland, and you'll never come to a place of faith. You don't come to a place of faith. Because understand this, your mind is still over in the area of reasoning realm. You're around there trying to get an approval from everybody else to believe the Word of God. And you know what? A lot of time you don't have it. A lot of time it's a hard time to get a majority to go in the direction God's going. It's a hard time doing it. You have a tough time. So if you want everybody's opinion on the subject, you can be in trouble. You want to walk in the light of the word that God gives you. We need to live and walk in the revelation, especially in the areas of faith. Without faith, in Hebrews 6 tells us we cannot please God. You can't please God. It says it's impossible. So in other words, we please God not because we're bright geniuses. We believe what He said. We say what He said. We act on what He said. That's faith. There's no such thing. Faith is not just saying, well, I believe God. Well, what are you saying and doing? Understand that. Faith in the Bible is not just believing something. Everybody today who is in hell believes Jesus is Lord. Everybody there believes it. Ain't nobody. There's people who have left this earth believing Jesus is Lord and went to hell because they never acted on the revelation. They never received Him. Faith receives something. If you haven't received it, it matters not what you believe. What you believe is of no value if you haven't received it. If you've never believed you received it, it's yours. You know, I remember as when I started off in Christianity and that kind of stuff, and I remember just things mentally that I just had problems with in areas and stuff, and I realized it went back to, you know, childhood and things and that stuff on memory, and really it was a lot of demonic stuff in through your families, you know. You got to learn to walk free of your family. I'm going to tell you, your family can be your biggest problem. There's things about your family, and I'm not telling you. In my family, there were certain demonic things that turned around and just, you know, stayed in through the family, and I had to learn to overcome in these areas. And one of the things, you know, a lot of people today, they talk, they have learning disorders. They call them all kinds of things. They call these syndromes and all that stuff. 90% of that's demons. They got demonic problems. Huge amounts of demonic problems. Demon stuff going on. Demon things happening. And what people do is today, you know, when doctors can't figure out what's happening, now they have a term that they gave it to make themselves seem like they're smart. It's a syndrome. You know what syndrome means? We ain't got a clue what's going on. We don't know a darn thing about this, but we're going to keep the dumb people who think we're gods believing we're gods. You got a syndrome. Say, no, the Bible just says you got a demon, probably needs cast out, probably to help you. But what happens? With people walking over, people are dealing with stuff with demonic things, and I was dealing with demonic things, but I found out to overcome. You can sit and just fight devils, but the whole thing of it is, you can cast a devil out, but if you don't have something to replace it with by faith, that demon comes right back. You got to do things. Well, I found out there was something that I had to do because I was hampered over in the areas of learning. And I sure figured if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to live with God, you got to have good intelligence. You need some intelligence to do it. Dummies ain't going to do it. So you need support. Well, I remember listening to Kenneth Hagin teaching the areas of faith, and he was teaching about having the mind of Christ. And he said about, you have the mind of Christ, you're not trying to get it. You got it. You have the mind of Christ. I remember that revelation going off in me, I have the mind of Christ. So from then on, I would never talk about I had a learning disability or I had anything. You walk around telling everybody that kind of stuff about you. Well, I just have problems with this and I just have problems. That's your confession. Remember, you're going to have what you say. You can't get rid of a problem you keep telling people belongs to you because that's what you have received. That's what you've received. You've received the problem that you say that you want to get rid of, but you talk about it being yours. If it's yours, then you've received it as being yours. And I started saying, I have the mind of Christ. And I used to say this all the time. Jesus ain't no dummy. So how could I be a dummy? How could I have a problem learning? How could that ever happen? If I have the mind of Christ, man, whoo! My words. You know, they used to do that Ford commercial with the light come on, you know, years ago, many years back, they used to do that. Ford got a better idea and the light came on. Well, see, when the light came on, Kenneth Hagin was teaching and the light came on. And when the light came on, I began to operate in faith. I did not operate in faith till I got my voice in line with the Word of God, till I started saying what God said on the subject. I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. I tell you, I was never so excited to find out I had the mind of Christ. Dear Lord, all that time before it, I thought I had some dumb thing going on. But see, I couldn't resist what the devil was doing till I put my voice into motion. Because the devil had access to me as long as I believed what was actually physically going on in me. But when I quit that, he couldn't operate anymore. He couldn't do that. He couldn't operate. The reason the devil operates, because of what people say and what they do. I don't care what you believe. Your believing is of no value to you, what you believe in your heart, if you don't get it on your lips and get it into your doing. That's the success. That's the success of faith. You got to get it, first of all, on your lips. You got to start saying it. You can't have a double tongue, sometimes talking on one side and sometimes talking the other. You can't do that. You can't sometimes have it this way and have it that way. See, most people, they got a double life. And I don't know, my faith, I'm speaking the truth. Yeah, over here sometimes, but sometimes over there, saying the other junk. Talking your defeat, talking your failure. And then practicing your failure, start practicing your success. You know, one of the things that I had learned all the time. So what did I have to start to do? Well, when I started to believe what the Scripture says concerning my mind, then I had to do something. Not just say something. I had to start doing things of learning and studying stuff and doing things. You might have the mind of Christ, but if you don't ever study the Scriptures, you ain't gonna ever find out what's in it. See, you can sit around and make confession all you want, but if you don't act on it, you got to study. You got to start getting out and studying and doing stuff. So that's what I started doing. I started before because that was really a labor and hard work for me, and that's what people don't, oh my words, I want faith stuff. I can just say something and not do anything. I don't want any work. I want it all to just fall off on me and just be real nice. I just want somebody else to study the Word and tell me about it. That's what I'm interested in. I want somebody else to write a book and give it to me so I get the book. You know what? People would do that. If you don't study for yourself, you'll never go where I've gone. I don't care how many books you read. I don't care how many sermons you listen to. You're going to have to do things yourself to get revelations. You can't just get them listening to somebody else preach or reading somebody else's book. You're going to have to study yourself. That's what Brother Hagin used to tell us. He said, oh, you get my books and read them. He said, don't read them, study them. Study the stuff. Go look the Scriptures up. You'll find most people never look the Scriptures up that they turn around and read a book. It's amazing. I'd go over and read the Scriptures and I would turn around and end up, oh, man, look, this says this. Well, they're good. Oh, my, the Bible's pretty good over here. It says this, my words. And get over there, start seeing things. They weren't in the book. They weren't in the book. But if I didn't do it, I'd have never seen it. I would have never known it. See, we have a lazy church today. The body of Christ is a lazy bunch in America. The same spirit that operates in the world, the same spirit people that are mad at our president, are the same, is this spirit is in. They're all people who want somebody to give them something for nothing. They're afraid they're all going to lose it. If he gets to be president, I don't get all my free stuff. And everybody ain't going to get to do what they want. The church is the same way. There's laziness in the church. The church is the same. They want to, you know, just go, somebody feed me, somebody do it for me. You can't. It don't work that way. It's okay to work with spiritual babies. You can do a lot for them. But you can't be years. And after a while, I will just tell you what will happen. What you have learned after a while won't work for you. It won't work. Folks, this is good preaching. You need to understand it won't work after a while. You can't sit around with it. You got to want it yourself. It isn't enough that Ed's hungry for God. You ain't going to get no further than I go getting as hungry as I am. If you ain't as hungry as I am, you ain't going as far as I go. That's simple. It's simple. You know, if I don't go to a medical school, I ain't going to be a doctor. The guy gets to be the doctor, went to the school. I don't care how much you want to get it, you're going to have to go do what he did. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. If I wanted to go where he went, I had to do what he did. You know, my God. The Lord told me this the other week. I never said it to people generally. But he said, you know, he said, people need to understand that they can't go places that you've gone because they've never sacrificed or done what you've done to get to places you've been. I'm going to tell you what, financially, you can't get to certain places. I don't care where your faith's at till you learn to sacrifice to get there. You're going to have to sacrifice to get certain places. You go look at anybody financially who's walked with God financially and has done anything big, man, they've sacrificed to get there. You ain't going to just throw some little money in the offering plate every once in a while and do some tithing and go to places they have gone. It'll never happen. The Lord said to me, you know, you packed up and you went to Bible school and you did those things. He said, there's things, he said, because you sacrificed to do things. He said, you'll go places. And he said, we've lost that in the church. The church has lost that. The Lord's church has lost the idea of sacrifice. We've lost it in our effort, the idea of we're just going to, you know, sit down and it's just going to come. No, it doesn't do it that way. It's sacrificing it. I'll tell you what, it's finding out what's valuable to you. What is really valuable to you? What's valuable? We're singing about knowing Him this morning. And I was thinking about the greatest thing in all my life is knowing Him. And the Bible says that. If knowing Him is the greatest thing in your life, you're going to spend a lot of time about knowing Him and a lot less time doing a lot of other stuff. See, I started off as a Christian. Man, I just spent my time just after God, after God, after God. I spent more time in my first 3 or 4 years as a Christian after God than most Christians will spend in their lifetime. But I'm going to tell you, the payoff was wonderful. Because I got to know God. Because I found that was the value. That's what you're going to have to do. Folks, I'm not saying this and you're trying to be, you know, upset anybody, but I'm just telling you, there's no other way to do it. I ain't got a clue how you do it any other way. You know, the guy that sacrificed 8 years to go to college to be a doctor, he gets to be the doctor. Ed don't. We have to understand these things. And in life, we just like the Lord spoke to me, we have this nonsense taught today. Well, you can just be anything you want to be. That's the biggest lie. We need to quit telling kids that. Anybody could become president. Get a life. Anybody could be president. What spaceship did you get off of? Telling people that. Nonsense. So they walk around and think they can be anything and amount to nothing. You're going to amount to in life what you set your course to do. And if you don't set your course to do it, you ain't going to get there. Let's get real simple about this stuff. You're not going to become nothing. You ain't going to become anything you don't put time into. Let's get real about this thing. It takes work and labor, but we got all these nice little sayings, and it's in the church world. You know, you ain't going to go with Smith's Wigglesworth went doing the stuff you do. I'm just telling you. You want to go where Smith's Wigglesworth went? I'm going to tell you what. He's a tough man. His faith in God is a whole lot different than people say call faith today. I'll tell you, sometimes he curls my toes. When I'm like, oh, dear Lord, Ed, repent. I want to share with something with you today. Actually, I taught this, and the Lord told me to get it out again. And I taught this in 15. And it was the revelation that God gave, that Jesus Christ gave Kenneth Hagin on how to write your ticket with God, the things you need to do in dealing in the areas of faith. Because there are some of the most, these things that you must get, you must as a believer having you, and you need to get a hold of this. If we're going to live in victory, these are simple things that we talked about, but these things are things that Jesus Christ specifically spoke to Kenneth E. Hagin and told him. Now, this comes from December 1953. Kenneth Hagin was holding services in Las Vegas, in Phoenix, Arizona. And in Phoenix, he was holding these services in a church, and after church, they had went to some people's house to get to eat something. And Brother Hagin told the people that he just had a sense he needed to pray. He said, I need to pray. So they just put everything aside, and everybody got praying. And Jesus, he had a vision. And in the vision, Jesus showed him something. One of the things that Jesus, the whole vision started off with was about a man who was going to be in the meeting that night, the next night, was going to be in the meeting. And he said this man would come in, and the Lord told him and showed in the vision. He saw the man. In fact, he saw what sermon. The Lord gave him a sermon to preach for that night. In the vision, he saw what he was preaching. The Lord didn't say the sermon, but he saw what he was preaching. He saw it in the vision. He heard himself preaching. And this man was in the service, and he saw how the man was dressed and what his tie was and everything. And he told after his message, he spoke directly to the guy, told him something the Lord gave him to say to this individual. This man had never been in a Christian church in his life and that stuff. And he was getting close to dying. He was an elderly man, was getting close to dying. And he wasn't saved. And anyhow, through this, the Lord wanted to get him saved, and this man got saved. But anyhow, this whole thing. And they found that when Brother Hagin told the people he was praying with what he saw concerning this man, he told them this. The next night, everything to the T happened just like he said it to. He told him, he said, where the man would come in the church, what pew, where he would sit out in the church, what he was wearing, his color of his suit, what tie he had on, everything, what Brother Hagin would speak to him and say to him and do, what his response would be back to Kenneth Hagin. He told them all exactly what was going to happen, and they went to church, and it happened exactly everything just like he said. Now, That thing went on in that vision, and when that vision was over, Kenneth Hagin, Jesus, he said in the vision, turned around to walk away, and he stopped Jesus, and he asked Jesus if he could ask him a question. Now, he made this statement, and I found out this is exactly true. When you get over in the areas of the Spirit, what you think you would like to ask God about, most of the time is never what you're going to ask him, because most of the things that you're concerned about in the natural don't really have much to do with your life of things working out in your life anyhow. What you think is important generally ain't important at all. Let me just say that to you. I know from experience. It has amazed me over time. It's like what happened to me when I was out. The Holy Spirit spoke to me for about 20 to 30 minutes. We held a conversation. I was out in, this was in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and I'm walking around a reservoir thing there, and I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, and we're having a conversation just like if I would be talking to one of you right now and you'd be responding back and forth. I mean, it was just like that. I'm talking to the Holy, I'd say something, the Holy Spirit would talk to me, and we went on and on with this, and I'm asking him questions. And it was over. I thought this is the wildest thing. I never asked him or talked to him about anything I would have thought was important normally. But the things I ask and wanted to know, but I look at the side, I think, you know, you get over, why is this? Because when you get over in the Spirit, you see things in a totally different perspective. What's important? Well, Kenneth Hagin said he had all these things in life that he thought was important, but he said when he asked Jesus, he said, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. He said, whenever I preach about the woman with the issue of blood, he said, whenever I preach it, he said, Lord Jesus, I have two sermons that I preach on faith concerning that woman. But he said, every time I preach those or I go over and study those, I get a sense the Holy Spirit's trying to give me a revelation, and I'm not picking it up. Now, normally, you wouldn't be thinking about asking a question like that. You know, there'd be a lot of things you'd think about, but you know, this turned around, and that's amazing because this was hugely, hugely important. The revelation came from Jesus to him off of this, the body of Christ, should be thanking God so much for giving this revelation, but most of the church don't believe it. Yet it's totally scriptural, the revelation. But he said, Jesus, he said, I seem to miss it. And he said, is he trying to get across to me? And the Lord Jesus spoke to him and said, yes, he's been trying to get across to you that, but for some reason you've been unable to catch it. And he said, I'll tell you what it is. Now he was kneeling down with his eyes closed, and he was in there. The Lord Jesus said to him, go get a pencil and piece of paper. So he said he opened his eyes, and Jesus wasn't there. And he said he went and got a pencil and paper. He came back, knelt down again, closed his eyes, and he said, Jesus was standing right there. And Jesus said, don't down. Write 1, 2, 3, and 4 on the paper. And so Jesus turned around and gave him this thing. Now, this is from, there's a mini book here that the Brother Hagin put out some of Brother Hagin's, I'd say Brother Hagin's mini books are more important and have better revelations than most 200 and 300 page Christian books written. Most books spend too much time doing too much stuff. Most people don't get 1% of what they need to get, and they're reading 47 different things, and he ain't got one thing. Those little books. Well, he wrote that little book, and it was written off that revelation that night. And that revelation is how you can write your ticket with God, was the book that he wrote, and that was one of those little mini books. Now, Jesus speaking. Now, listen what Jesus says to him about that revelation. I want you to hear this. See, I always think, when I think about Jesus, it always comes to mind to me of John G. Lake. John G. Lake always said this: if Jesus said something about something, there's no there's no other question about it. In other words, it don't matter whose other opinion or who else said anything. If Jesus made a statement about something, that's it. And you know what? I tell you, I figured John G. Lake knew he went further in the areas I'd like to go further in than any of the people sitting around talking about all these other great things or revelations they get. I tell you what, God demoed him, straighted himself through that man. But there's one thing about it, he believed Jesus. He was a phenomenal man. You talk about a man of sacrifice? This guy in his day was a very wealthy man. And he was called by God to go to Africa. And you know what he did with his wealth? He wouldn't spend his money to go to Africa. He gave all his money away and then believed God for the money to go to Africa. He gave everything away, gave all his wealth away. He was rich. He gave everything away, got rid of all of his property, everything, to go to Africa. Believed God for the money for him, and I forget how many other people. There was about 20 other people going with him. He believed God for the money for him and his party to go to Africa. He got money to get on the boat, but didn't have the money. He needed to have so much money per person to get in the country. And he got to Africa. They didn't have the money. All they had money was to get the boat to go there. And when the boat docked, a woman came out and told him, ended up giving him the money and having a house for him to live in. He had never known her any place. God told her that this guy was coming, and she needed to give him a house and all that kind of stuff. And she's waiting at the dock. People talk about faith today and stand in faith. People know very little about it. They're never little about the subject. You can get people to give all their money away then to go to do the will of God. I can use my money too. He gave all of his away. Gave it away. He said, I'm not going to do the work of God with my stuff. I'm going to do it with his stuff. Amazing. Oh, people want to go where these guys go, but we're going to have to walk where these men walked. That's going to be part of what we're going to have to do. There's things that we need revelations on concerning these things that we don't have. I want to think like those guys thought. I want to think like they thought. I want to have thoughts like they did. Dear Lord, what they were able to accomplish. Glory to God. Well, he said he didn't want people to think that he went to Africa. He wanted to know God sent him. Hallelujah. But anyhow, Jesus said this concerning this thing that he gave, these principles he gave to Kenneth E. Hagin. He said this to him: if anybody anywhere. Now, are we anybody's? Are we fit in the category of anywhere? Are we in here? Now, understand this. He's talking to Christians. This is speaking Christians. So, Christians, any place or anywhere. Any Christian, anywhere. This is what Jesus said. We'll take these four steps or these four principles and put these four principles into operation, he will always receive what he wants from me or God the Father. Always. Well, that sort of throws that out. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. But folks, we need to understand scripturally, when John wrote, John said, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we know we have the petition we requested of him. See, we need, this wasn't something unscriptural. God has a plan that you could get all your prayers answered. Now, you can't get everybody else's prayers answered. You can't do that. They're involved. But your prayers for what you need, for what you desire, what you want, you can get it answered. He said if they'll follow this, they would get it. Now, Kenneth Hagin made a statement about this because we're going to go on and talk about these things. He said that these four steps he gave me can be put into operation immediately, and you can receive anything in present tense, salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing for your body, spiritual victory, or finances. Now, anybody can receive. Now, he said you can receive those. How? By faith. Faith believes it. If you believe, receive it, you'll have it. It's about believing you receive it. See, most people, they're going to believe it when they see it. No, faith is in the operation of believing you receive it before it happens. Now, he says this. So, in other words, these four steps basically cover everything or anything you might want or need, really. So he goes on, he says, however, some things as financial needs and the manifestation of some healings, etc., he said, may take time to develop. He said, then the four steps become principles you must put into practice over a period of time. A farmer cannot go out tomorrow and start picking cotton or threshing wheat until it has had time to grow. But thank God, where there are steps to be taken immediately or principles to be practiced over time, you can have what you say. You can have what you say. He didn't say, and you got to get a hold of this. He didn't say you can have what you believe. Did he? Now it helps to believe. But you ain't going to have what you believe. You're going to have what you believe, then say. That's what you're going to have. If you have not tied your voice to what you believe, it is worthless. It is dead. It produces nothing. What you believe and you do not speak produces nothing in this realm, in this natural realm. Anything that is produced into this natural realm through the realm of the Spirit comes because somebody has spoken it into existence. It's just like God's creation of this earth. He spoke it into existence. And he gave man his authority to rule the earth. They have to do the same thing that he does. That's why over in Romans it says there concerning Abraham, it speaks of God who calls things that do not exist as though they do. Most Christians only talk what exists. Speaking what exists changes nothing. It doesn't change anything. God calls things that don't exist as though they do exist. That's what faith is. That's what people who don't like the faith message are so mad at the people who like the faith message about. And they call, they're just name it and claim it. They're just this and that. It's because they only talk what they see. They only talk what they have. That's what they talk. And when somebody comes along and says something they can't see, we know that's devilish. You're saying things. You've got to talk stuff you can see. That's being real. You know, I'm real. And most people say I'm real. They're the most unreal things you ever met in your life. I mean, they'll have more unreal problems, them and the devil working together, cooperating very good together in their reality. Because their reality is in the natural. And the problems that are in life, they'll just keep reinforcing it and reinforcing it and reinforcing it with their mouth. They'll keep reinforcing. Their beliefs are based on what they touch, taste, smell, feel. That's all there is. There's nothing outside of that. Then they talk about a God they can't see. And the reason they can't talk great about him, because he will kill you, you know. He might need to do that. He might need to kill you for a reason. Because why? He doesn't fit. They have to make him fit to their realities. And their realities are evil dominates, evil rules. I know I was born and raised with the plain people, and you know what they did? Oh man, you get out here in the world, and boy, they'll all kill you. Stay away from them. Hide from them. Don't get too close to them. It'll turn around and get on you, and no telling what's going to happen to you. Hide out! Go all in the world, preach the gospel. Don't you dare. Yell at them from a distance. Don't get too close. Don't tell them what's going to happen to you. Now, so Brother Hagin turned around and asked, in this vision, Brother Hagin asked Jesus then questions. He said, in the vision, I said, Lord, can I see that? He said, Lord, I can see that. He said, I can see that if anybody would take these four steps, they would receive healing just like the woman did. He's spoken with a woman with a flow of blood. But you said anybody anywhere who would take these four steps, they would receive from you whatever they wanted. Do you mean that people can receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit that way? He said, most assuredly, yes. Then I said to him, Lord, what about Christians? So many believers need victory in various areas of their life. They have the world, the flesh, and the devil to deal with. He said, some need victory over the flesh. Some need victory over the devil. Some need victory over the world. And he said, some need victory over it all. He said, are you telling me that any believer anywhere can write a ticket over the world and the flesh and the devil? You mean they can do it? Now listen, this is Jesus' response. And here's where you need to get it. Because religion has suddenly put the stuff into us in our thinking that we'll start over into our doubts about things and about those starting things because the way we're taught about stuff. God's in control and God's running everything. And we don't want to believe anything besides what God wants. And we get all in and get you into this religious junk. And it'll take you right over and you'll be Mr. or Mrs. Unbelief. That's what you're going to be. Now Jesus responded and said to him, emphatically, yes. He continued, if they do not do it, it won't be done. It would be a waste of time for them to pray to me to give them the victory. They have to write their own ticket. As a young Christian, I got that revelation. I found that was my responsibility to have victory in my life. When I heard Kenneth Hagin say these words, he said, if your life hasn't turned out well, that's your problem. You made it the way that it is, and it made me mad when I first heard him. Well, you don't know what I've been around, what I've gone through. You just don't get it. And then when I learned a little bit about the scriptures, I found out, man, he's exactly right. I sure did help dig a hole for myself. You need to understand this. The holes that you're in your life, they're holes that you dug. Quit blaming even the devil. You can sit around and play the blame with the devil or do whatever you want. Or you put principles of the Bible to work for you and begin to operate and take the responsibility to change it. And you can change it if you use the principles of faith. The principles of faith work to change these things. The principles of faith that he is laid out in here. Now I want you to go to Mark the 5th chapter. I'm just going to read through here to you, the woman with the issue of blood. I want to read through this to you. Mark the 5th chapter, we're going to go to verse 25 to start reading. Because this is where the Jesus went and spoke to him. Now, just think about those words. If they don't do it, it won't be done. It would be a waste of time for them to pray to me to give them the victory. They have to write their own ticket. Understand, this is not a bad thing. It's not a punishment. When I learned this, I realized the freedom that lies. When the Lord spoke to me years ago about things, and then when he dealt with finances just a couple years ago, he said, I asked him about using this. I said, well, how far do you go? He said, how far do you want to go? In other words, I write my ticket. I can go as far as I want to go. How far do I want to go? How far do you want to go with God? Most Christians are happy exactly where they're at. And next year, they'll be exactly where they're at. They're just happy where they are. Life's pretty good. Bills are paid. Things are pretty good. They're just happy where they're at. They're out. We're getting by. You know, other people are having more problems. But if you want more, you can have more. And if you learn the principles of faith and how it works, you can begin to work this thing. And I'm going to tell you, it's huge freedom. It's not bondage in any way. It's huge freedom. In other words, understand this. God doesn't treat everybody the same from the standpoint. He's not going to give you what the other guy got when he worked hard to get it. He's not going to give it to you. He's not like the government and welfare. God is not fair according to man's fairness. God will let you croak and die if you keep playing stupid. And he'll love you and let you die. Even though he's the great healer, he lets people die all the time. Believers die all the time. And he loves them. He loves them, but they won't respond in faith. They won't respond to him in faith. They won't do it. They don't believe to do it. Well, whatever. They're going around saying their stuff. They're writing their ticket is what he said down there. It wouldn't do him. He can't give them the victory. Their victory is up to them. He's given us the authority in the earth. He's not. Well, God's in control of everything. Boy, I hope none of you guys believe that. If you ain't figured out that by now, that that ain't true, I feel bad for you. You need another dip. That's a definite. If God's in control, he is a mess. My God ain't in a mess. Ed's been there. Ed's been a mess. But God ain't ever been a mess. God has been good all the time, and his principles. And to me, to find out that I can set a direction and I can arrive there, I can go there. This is exciting to me to find that out. When I learned that, I learned, my God, then I am not tied to what other people are doing and saying. They're not just going to control me. To me, that was the greatest thing to find. I found out that I wasn't tied to the wealth. You know, most Christians believe they're sort of like in a caste system like India. You know, God wants some people poor and he wants it. Most spirit-filled believers believe that. Well, God wants some people to have a lot more money and there's some he doesn't want them to have a lot of money. They believe all that stuff. What they do is they have the Christian caste system. And they call it God, and it ain't God, it's them. It's them. They have the Christian caste system, and God sets you in the caste, and you can't break out of it. If that's true, then this whole thing is a lie. And in Mark 11, 23 and 24, the biggest lies Jesus ever told. Let's get down and get real about this stuff. So you got to throw this thing out. Most spirit-filled ministers will preach a Christian caste system. Well, this is your gifting and you have that. The reason this guy has money is he need God's using him over here on this, you know. And the God's using, and you're not supposed to. See, some are gifted in the area of giving and some aren't. Lest I heard it's more blessed to give and receive. I don't get it that some guy gets to give more and have a better blessing than me. I don't believe that stuff. They teach these so-called gifts, but they put them on. What they did is put people in a bondage and put people over in a place and put you into your little caste. And this is where you got to live. Oh, yeah, I had that. I was in a church that did that, and they had their little caste. And then they would do these little psychological tests to find out your, you know, whether you could be a leader or you're just a dog follower. And you're just... you're just supposed to obey everybody else. One of those jobs. And they used to do that stuff. Now, folks, all that stuff they did, all it ever did to people was keep people in a box and limit them. We don't find it. If this revelation is true, if Jesus actually said it, now scripturally it's sound, and we're going to look at scripture, it's sound. If it is true and it's sound, then we have to sit down and re-examine what the church world teaches. There needs to be some difference here. We need to examine what was the revelation, what's he trying to bring out to say to people with these scriptures that they've used to put people in a box. I don't find that God put anybody in a box and saying, you can only go this far. I might be gifted in a certain area, another guy is, but I'm going to tell you what, Kenneth Copeland ain't allowed to have more money than Ed. If you think, he's in the ministry. Well, there you did. You just put yourself in a caste system and you said, God, I'm limited. Well, let me ask you, how far are you limited? Well, I don't know. Well, you better find out, because you can never operate in faith for finances till you find it out. Because you might be asking outside the box of what God has you in. See, all this stuff, see, that's why I can't believe this stuff that they teach. Because it limits faith. I do not see scripturally where faith is limited. Just because some guy may be gifted in a certain area of ministry to do certain things, that don't mean I'm limited in my life and my walk with God. That doesn't mean that. You know, just because somebody, you know, they say, you know, somebody's gifted more in the areas of, they'll say grace and over in there. I have a hard time with that. I thought I was supposed to just walk in by the grace of God and go over and be gracious. I just thought you were supposed to do that whether you had, I didn't think you needed a special gift. I always thought you just ought to walk in it. You know, there's some people, they have a special love that God gave them. Oh, hold it. I don't read that in Scripture. You know, that they have this special. They're like, they got a special something. Anybody that I ever found that had the special usually walked in things they shouldn't have been walking. These specials, I didn't see any sales on specials in God's kingdom. It seemed like that if you wanted to walk in something, you could. Now we realize, I mean, I can't walk in a gift that Jesus gave. I can't become an apostle because I want to. But I'm going to tell you, an apostle isn't going to have more money, more better health, or better love walk with Jesus just because he gets to be an apostle. Anything concerning what the scripture says belongs to the saints belongs to me. And Mark 11, 24 belongs to Ed. And Mark 11, 23 belongs to Ed. And 1 John 5 over there, that belongs to Ed too. That belongs to every believer. See, you'll limit yourself if you listen to this kind of teaching. You'll limit yourself. That's why you need to study yourself. If you sit and listen to these teachings and let them turn around and get you over an area to get yourself in the caste system, you did that yourself. Don't blame them. Because you had the opportunity to study. I had the opportunity to study, and I did. Because something that they taught, things never set right in me. I used to think, well, what about this scripture says this? Hold it. Stuff got to fit. It has to fit. It can't be this is over here to that and the rest of it don't work. And when I started getting over there, I realized they were twisting things and holding people back and not helping people go forward. Hallelujah. You may have certain areas that God uses you more in. That's absolutely fine. But I'll tell you, God wants everybody well. You prosper. He said to me, you can go as far as you want to go. How far do you want to go? Well, how far do you want to go? That's up to you. You'll determine by that by how much you'll work at it in that area. But you're going to have to work at it. It ain't going to naturally just come and fall on you. It don't happen like that. That just ain't the way life goes. Now, in Mark 5, verse 25 says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I will be made whole. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go and be whole, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So Jesus turned around and spoke to these scriptures here. Jesus himself spoke to Kenneth Hagin and gave him the steps here. It's four steps. The first step that he gave with the woman, he said, say it. Isn't this amazing? He didn't give the first step is believe it. I want to say something to you this morning about saying. One of the greatest problems that the church has in saying is most Christians don't know what their saying's about. There are different reasons why you say. You need to understand this. First, this is what many Christians are doing. They're calling, they're operating in faith, and they aren't because they really haven't come to believing. Most people start off confessing, really trying to get themselves to believe. They start off in their confession. They're saying the word. You need to understand the importance concerning confession to bring yourself to a revelation of believing what the word says. Many people have not arisen to the place of believing what it says, and they're confessing it, thinking they're doing a thing of faith, and they have never spoken it by faith. This is how the teaching got around. Well, if you just keep saying it and keep saying it, then it'll come to pass. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Nowhere in Scripture tells you that. The reason they do that, understand, you need to understand why you confess. Why you confess? Why am I saying what I'm saying? Am I saying what I'm saying because I really believe this is true and I'm saying it and I know that I receive it, it's mine. Many of the time, people are saying it. I've had so many times people come to me and I'd say about the thing, well, I'm believing it and I'm confessing it and I'm praying. And right away I know they ain't faith. They're just going through a religious thing. They haven't come to the place. See, you need to know what you're going to use it for. I use confession many times. I don't just say words out. I will use confession to build my faith, to get myself to the point to believe something. I will sometimes take days and turn around and just confess a scripture. And I'll take a scripture and I'll confess it and confess it and confess it till I am ready to say it in faith to believe I receive. You need to understand it. Many times Christians are just talking. They're just saying something. They haven't come to the place where they are ready. When you are ready to say you believe, you receive it. At that time, you have it. No time should you ever say it one more time to try to get at anything. Never again. Because if you do, then you didn't believe it before. Now, there's nothing the matter with confessing it to get yourself till it becomes a revelation to you till you're ready. Now, I'm ready to make the confession of my faith. I'm ready to say it. I'm ready to make the statement that it's mine. I believe I got it. Now, there's confession that we do afterwards. And that confession is to take that scripture and thank God that you have it, that it belongs to you. Most people never get out of the first. Never get out of the first. Jesus just told us here, if you operate the four principles that he's going to teach, that you would always have it. It will always work. So if things don't work, then we know this. We haven't operated it. We haven't done it. Confession is really a bad point for people because confession has been taught wrong. Many times you need, it's like Randy Greer said. Randy Greer talked about how he got out of prison. He talked about how he went out in the prison yard. He, for hours, would walk around out there confessing Mark 11, 23 and 24 till he got the point that he believed that he said he was coming out of that prison. He was coming out. But he didn't until he got the revelation. He said, I went out there for hours. He said, I confessed those scriptures. He said, my mouth got so dry. He said, I could hardly say the words anymore. He said, my tongue was swelling up and everything. He said, I would just go to say those scriptures over and over. He said, I wasn't saying those scriptures because I was believing them. I was saying those scriptures for faith to come to me to where I could. And he said, man, I was out there walking around one day, and he said, all of a sudden it hit me as bad. And he said, I commanded it. He said, I spoke to the gates in that prison and told them I'm going out those gates, that I'm going to be released from prison. And he said, a few months later, it happened. The reason people don't have stuff happen is because they have never spoken in faith. They don't know the difference. People don't know. I had here just a little while ago, a person came and asked me about praying about a certain thing. If I believe they could pray in a certain direction. Now, I told them from now this one. They had no scriptural place to stand on. They didn't know. They were asking me. And so I said, well, biblically, I said there are certain things in scripture that gives you the idea you can go that direction. So they decided they're going to go that way. I said, were you able to believe there? They said, oh, yeah. Well, I knew they can't believe to walk in that direction. They didn't. That's why they were asking me. They didn't know. They didn't know a thing about it. But they're asking me. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, here goes another one of those misfits in faith. They ain't listening and paying no attention to anybody. And I said to them, I said, hold it. I said, you sure you're believing this thing? You can't believe just because I said it's right. Because I never gave them scriptures or anything to stand on. They want to know where I believe. Just because I believe, you can go stand on it. Good luck. You got to know what I know. Well, I know they don't know what I know. I know that. But they're making a statement and saying I'm in faith. Well, I know they're wasting their time. And they're going to go off, and I know the thing isn't going to work. The Lord always spoke to me about it. Said it ain't going to work for them. And they're going to come along, and it didn't work. And you know what? They're just going to walk off, and they're going to forget about it. And they're just led aside as one of those things that failed. But you know what? They'll never deal with why it didn't work. If you don't deal with why your prayer didn't work, you never will learn nothing, and I will guarantee you, you will do it again and again and again and again. I want to know when mine ain't working. I want to know why. If you don't do that, you're destined to prayer failure. You're destined to it. If it didn't work, why didn't it work? There's got to be a reason, and it ain't God. Well, this is how the religion starts. Well, I can't be wrong. I'm wonderful. So it must have been God didn't want me to have it. Sometimes God says yes, and sometimes he said no. Those things are always started by people who won't deal with themselves and play like they're religious and holy and are not. They won't deal with their shortcomings. I'm going to tell you what, I got shortcomings and need dealt with. About you, I got shortcomings that need dealt with. Now, so the first thing Jesus said, you got to say it. You got to say it. It is good to get to start to saying the right thing. Now, this woman came along, said she, now look, this woman was sick for 12 years. She had suffered many things by physicians. In other words, doctors were not able to help her. You need to understand this. You need to take your faith beyond the place of doctors. You got to, because sometimes doctors can't help you. I've run into enough in my life. I've watched enough people die where doctors couldn't help them. And they never developed their faith past the point of they only had faith as far as the doctor could take you. Well, that's as far as you can go. You can't go any further than that. So you want to develop. She had been at this place. She spent all that she had. And the government didn't bail her out either. How do you like that? I'll tell you, I just don't get it. All right, but she spent. Now just think of it. She went this direction. Well, then it says, she heard about Jesus. We know this faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. She heard about Jesus. And it said she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment. Now listen what she said. She said, if I may touch his garment, I'll be made whole. Now, she made a declaration that if she could touch his garment, she would be made whole. How did she know that she could do that? She would have had to heard that it was possible for that to happen. You can't make up your faith. You don't make your faith up. Well, we know this. Mark 6:56 says this. Wherever he entered a village, city, or in the country, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. Matthew 14, verse 35, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. This was a common practice that is not any kind of common practice in the church today. The church don't follow the Bible, only certain parts of it. People today in the church world are always waiting for somebody to minister to them instead of them getting a hold of it. You'll never develop your faith always waiting for somebody else to minister to you. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed the devil. Because what? God was with him. They would go ahead and touch. I learned this a long time ago. Somebody has an anointing, you can touch. You go touch them. I've been in meetings and that stuff. The Holy Ghost is really moving powerful people, and the Holy Ghost come on somebody really powerful. And I've watched it already. Somebody gets up near them and just brushes up against them and knocks them over. I've had the power of God on me so strong already. The Lord told me to walk down in front of a group of people, and they were lined up down through, and he said, don't touch any of them, just walk past them. I walked past them, and every one of them fell and hit the floor. See, the power of God can be present. You don't have to have something ministered to you. This woman understood, and these people understood. He had something. I don't have to wait till he comes and lays hands on me. I get to touch him. I can bring it out. I can bring it out. See, she said something. She said what she said, this is what I'm, in other words, she went and said something. Number one, she said something, and then she had to do number two. Then she had to do it. See, you can tell a person what you believe. Now, what, are you going to do it? See, I believe in healing. Well, that's fine. How do you believe you get it? Now, many people believe, many people in spirit-filled groups believe in healing, but they don't know exactly how to get it. You got to know what you got to do to get it. Now, this is what this woman knew. She said, well, if all these other people, I go down there and touch his garment, I'll be made well. So what'd she have to do? Well, let's see if Jesus comes to town. Let's see if Jesus comes around. Let's see. Well, I'll tell you what, that meeting's pretty far away. I don't know if I want to go there or not. That makes me uncomfortable. I don't like to ride that long in a car. You need to understand this. How well do you want your problem fixed that you keep telling people you want fixed? A lot of people blow wind. If you understand this, and I've used Betty so many times as an example, because Betty does what this woman did. Betty sets the stage for the anointing to move. She sets the stage. I don't. She sets the stage for the anointing that's in me. Her faith makes her well. Her faith does it. Most people, I got to try to use my faith to give them what they want. Her faith sets it in motion, just like with Jesus. Her faith, she went and acted upon it for her faith to draw out of Jesus the anointing. She wasn't having it ministered to her. She was getting it. She was getting it. Because understand this. If somebody else has to set the stage, then you're always going to have to wait for other people. You're always going to have to wait for them. I don't want that. I'm impatient. I want to receive it now. I want to get it. I don't want to have to wait. Well, the pastor didn't pray for anybody this morning, so I can't have it. The Bible says, let him call for the elders of the church. Well, people don't. Thank God Betty does. Does it work, Betty? Betty had, testimony. She came up concerning her husband's health. God improved it. She got four, and asked about finances. They were having trouble in the areas of finances. And what God gave four jobs. Arlen came up the same Sunday. Now, here's it. See this faith stuff? All we did, just act in line with the word. Arlen comes up, believing God concerning the business he works for. They had a bad meet, lose money. Well, God restored him. The next week, God makes things work. Why? Somebody decided to ask. Somebody decided to put faith in motion. I'm not a rocket scientist. I can tell somebody I'm great, but I do know how to operate in faith to make it work. I know how to make it work. I know it. I know how to make it work. And I know when it don't work. I don't have to go call some other preacher and ask other people. I know when I ain't making it work. Hallelujah. But if you don't know that, you're really at a loss. You're at a big loss. If you don't understand it and you don't know, you're at a loss. Because you're just sort of, it's a hit and miss game. You're just sitting out there, it's darts at a board, and you keep getting all these dull darts that won't stick. Somebody fouled the ends flat and they won't stay in the court. Hallelujah. But so in other words, this woman, she heard, and then when she said she heard about Jesus, she came behind the crowd and she touched his garment. She did what she said. She did what she said. I had people already say, I knew from where their faith was, they needed a boost and a help. But I told them, you go to somebody that has a healing anointing, somebody that God uses specifically in that area. And I'd say, well, why don't you go to so-and-so's meetings and go there and say, go there, it'd be good for me to go, but, and then they give an excuse. And I just don't ever talk to them again about it. I realized, they're just going to mess around. They don't care. As long as they can go to the doctor and some insurance company will pay the bills, they'll just keep doing what they're doing and playing the faith game. And they're only playing the faith game. I'll tell you what, I want well, don't you? Don't you want well? See, act on the word. She acted on the word. She said, I'm going to go down there and touch him. And we know this, and I'm not going to go through all the teaching. We know she went through, it was a hard thing. Legally, she wasn't even supposed to be in the crowd. She has a flow of blood. She's not even supposed to be in public. Man, she threw it all aside. Hallelujah. Went down there. I'm going to tell you what, you ladies don't know what it is. She was living in a man's world. You don't even got a clue today. You ain't got a clue today. What it is for that woman to live. You ain't never even been close to the ballpark she was in. You were playing in Little League and she was in the majors when it came to that. That's for sure. And so, lots of times we play like, well, we're in some place here that, man, it's really tough. And we aren't really in a tough place. We don't know what tough was. I've learned that a long time ago. I've been around people that lived tough and I think, dear God, I just bad some things, but I ain't been in their ballpark. They went through tough. I had an uncle. He went through the Bataan, death march and was in a Japanese prison camp. In my life, I can't even talk tough when we talk about him because I ain't even got a clue. You ain't had nothing in your life. Ain't none of us sitting here had anything in our life. We whine and cry about. You ain't had nothing. One of the most horrible things that they had is to live through it. My God, to them, lots of them felt better to die than it was what they suffered and what they went through in those things. So hallelujah, praise God. So don't get over in that ball camp thinking, well, the devil gets you in that camp to think, making you feel sorry for yourself. You lost. You're already a loser. You're a loser and you did it. Don't do that. Don't feel sorry for yourself. There's always somebody out there with a harder time than you got. Hallelujah. Word will work for you. So Jesus said, if you'll do that, then you act on it. Then it says in Mark 5 in verse 29, it said immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" Now, Jesus made this statement. When you do that, then receive it. Now, I want you to tell you something. A lot of people don't get this thing. Receive it. I have ministered to people I know. When there's an anointing, somebody has an anointing, I know when it goes into somebody and when it don't. I know. It's like power. I mean, let me tell you. If you went over here and we put two pieces of wire in one of these sockets, would you know if you touched those two wires, say that, would you know what would happen to you? Or would you have to come and ask Ed, did something happen? I'm not sure. You wouldn't. You know when power is moving. I know when power is moving in me. The fact that Jesus knew that power went out from him is normal. That's the norm. That's not odd. That's norm. I can tell when people pull power out of me. Sometimes in ministry to people, some people I don't feel much of anything goes on. And there's other people I can touch, and man, I can just feel it, man. It's going. What happens is, see, they receive it. See, many people come and they'll even go and act in the word. They'll go to the meeting. But when they go there, they don't receive it. You got to receive it. You believe you receive. You have. They go and they're always waiting for something to happen. They don't believe they receive. She touched him. She received it. I've had people already who have come. I've done this hundreds and hundreds, thousands of times, laid hands on people, and I know. I've had people tell me that they know the power. They could tell the power of God. The power of God was there, and they got nothing. Just because you feel the power don't mean you received it. You have to receive it. You receive it into your spirit. You don't receive it into your head. You receive it into your spirit. It manifests in your body. This is spiritual power we're talking about. Now, that spiritual power can manifest more or less, but nonetheless, it goes into you. You have to receive it. Sometimes people don't receive it. They just don't receive it. The strongest anointing that I ever had on me in my life, it was so strong, I'm serious, it was so painful. It hurt terrible. I asked God to get it off of me. I could hardly stand it. And I laid hands on a woman. And I walked up and put my hand on her. And all I could think of was like laying a hand on a rock. It was going nowhere. That anointing was just laying. And I said to the Lord, "What's going on?" He said, "Go minister to others." He said, "She ain't going to receive nothing." See, she wouldn't receive it. She had gotten up to go there to get something, but she's not receiving. She just thinks it's going to happen because you're there. Now, I've obeyed God and I've done it. You got to receive it. One of the things is this woman here had set in motion. I get down there, I'm going to touch his garment. I'm going to be made well. She's going down there. She's receiving that thing. I'm getting that thing. That's mine. I'm going to have it. See, her whole attitude and the inside is, yeah, I'm getting it. This is where most people with it, and I've said this to you guys many times, and please get a hold of it. When you come up for prayer, you should have already said something before you ever came up. If you're just walking up to see if something's going to happen, you ain't said nothing, 10-1, you ain't going to get nothing either. This, look, Jesus is laying out the principle. You got to say it first. I never would have somebody lay hands on me without me saying, when they lay hands on me, the power of God's going to go into me. And I'm going to have whatever it is I went for, what I'm going to say, I'm going to have that. That's what I'm going to do. That's what you're supposed to do. People don't do it and say they're coming by faith. Faith has never taken place. They have said nothing. And when they walk away, they say nothing. I've learned this a long time ago. It's the silent church talking about faith. The silent church talking about faith. And it's not faith, folks. Use your voice. Praise God. He lays hands on me. The power of God's going into me. Whatever it is, I'm there for healing. That healing power is going into me in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to have a healing and a cure. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's going in me. People don't say a thing. They walk up. They've been silent. They get hands laid on them, and they walk away in silence. When I walk away, I say, "Thank you, Lord. I got that. That's mine. It belongs to me." I don't check my body to find out if it changed. I check my faith, because if I'm in faith, it's going to change. It's going to change. Glory to God, it's going to change. See, you find out you don't know so much about faith as you thought you did. But this stuff's been out here all the time, printed for years, since 1953. A lot of people don't preach. Tell people the truth. We're trying to keep people happy. I'd rather have people find out the truth. They'll get happy. Don't worry. Once they find out their prayer life works, dear Lord, won't be able to keep their mouth shut. They'll be so excited. Dear Lord, they'll be doing all kinds of stuff. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants. God wants you to be a testimony, not to give somebody else's testimony. You're supposed to do it, receive it. And the next thing he said to do on there, he said, the disciple, when he had, Lord asked him, this always cracks me up. I want you to think about this. His disciples said to him, you see the multitudes throng you and you say, who touched me? Now I want you to understand this. Here's the 12 disciples and they don't understand it. Sad to say, most ministers don't understand it. They've been walking with Jesus. Jesus has been going into crowds and they've been touching and people get healed. And he turns around and he said, who touched me? And they still don't understand the thing. These boys, let me tell you, these guys were definitely not spiritual rocket scientists. These guys were dull. If God can use them, you got big chance. Don't you worry, people. You got a big chance going here. God could use you. These guys were dense. What's he saying? Who touched him? Look at all the people around him. They didn't understand the things of power. See, that's why if you're not using faith, I don't care how powerful. People say, I wish I'd be here when Jesus was. If you're faithless here today, you would be faithless there too. Let's get real about this. It required faith to bring that power out. It took faith. The disciples didn't understand when he said, somebody touch me. And I was talking to a guy who was an evangelist, real powerful. He had a really strong anointing. In fact, he ministered to me, laid hands on me. This guy, man, he had some power in him. And I drew it out of him, almost knocked him down too. And he said to me, he said, my God, you can pull. But you know what? It wasn't because I'm so, I just understand the principle of faith. That's all. I knew how to turn a switch on that made my, you know, I don't walk in this place here and turn the lights on when I come in and say, man, he's a powerful guy. He just turns these light switch on, make this thing work. No, you turn the right switch on, the lights come on. You want to be powerful. You know how to use faith. You're a conductor. That's what you want to be, a conductor. It isn't about being powerful. It's hooking up to God's power. He's powerful, and I'm hooking up to his power. It's about me being a good light switch and knowing how to flip the switch. When I flip the switch, the power works. That's all I got to do. Well, it says the woman fearing and trembling. What she did, he says, but the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down and told him the whole truth. And this is what Jesus said. He said to her, then tell it. God blesses you. You tell people. Let people know. Let people know it was God. Let people know what God did. I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to have people say, well, I just don't believe that way. You tell them anyhow. They're going to stand before Jesus one day and say, you know, you were told by a person how I worked. You didn't want that one. That's your problem. Tell people what God does for you. Let them know. Testify to people why they're blessed. Why God did this or God. Here's how God worked for me. Do that kind of thing. Now, I want you to see, but ending this thing on here with this. He said to her, he started, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith made you well. Your faith made you well. He didn't say, my power made you well. He wasn't the activator of it. I'll guarantee you, it's just like any other crowd today. I bet most of those people were down there because they wanted something and probably most of them healing. And nobody's getting nothing. In this crowd, we find out that there's two people that get something. There was Jairus who... God, the lead into this, we're going to talk about Jairus and what God did and how faith worked in that circumstance. And I can show you why a lot of people mess up because if situation changes, they change their confession. And if you don't understand those things, that's why many people fail in their faith. Because if circumstances change, they begin talking something else. They change their confession. Or they quit. Because circumstances. No, you want to stay on course when it will show you what Jesus did. But here in this instance, he said, your faith made you well. See, her faith did that. Her faith was the switch. Jesus did not take the credit for her being the switch that turned it on and off. Your faith will make you well too. See, you'll get this false Christianity. Well, I don't claim anything myself. Well, I do. What I do, I can claim. My part, I can claim, and I can claim God's part. But I'll tell you what, my faith can make me well. And that ain't backing off on Jesus. I know who had the power to heal it, but I know if I'm not a participant, it ain't working. And if he wants all the credit for it, then he's going to do all the work. Or he's a fraud. He ain't a fraud. He told this woman, your faith worked. Your faith did this. If it wasn't her faith that did it, she can't guarantee you can do it again. See, I tell you, your faith can work, and you can stand up and say, man, my faith in God, it'll work. It'll do every time what God said. We just need to, four simple things. Confess it. Do what you confess. Do it. Act on it. Act like it's true. See, you're going to set, as I said before, you're going to find as we go through and we're going to look at healing, because whether it's healing, finances, or what it's for, faith is really the same thing all across the board. But we have so much from the standpoint of healing, and there's wonderful things that are taught in Scripture concerning healing. And it's so, when we look at healing, we can see principles of faith. And I said this before, and I want you to get this. The people who came to Jesus for personal healing that are in the Scriptures, they set the course of how it happened. Jesus didn't. You're going to set the course, not Jesus. You are. You're going to set the course. Now, if you go to somebody who has a healing anointing and that healing anointing is being ministered to you and really don't have much to do with your faith, that's another thing. See, it's another thing to go to somebody, they minister to you. But your operation of faith, if you know how to use faith, you set the course. This woman set the course and said she had to go touch his garment. Why? That's what she heard. She had faith for that. The centurion had something else. He had a servant who he wanted healed, but he understood something. There's a principle he understood, that the person is in charge doesn't have to go. He can send somebody else to do it. And he said to Jesus, you just say the word and my servant will be made well. He said, I have men under me and I tell them to go and they go. In other words, he knew that Jesus could send healing. He understood it by the revelation that he had of how things work with authority. This is one thing you have to learn as Christians. Most Christians don't understand authority. They don't know what, they're trying to figure everything out and try to, they don't understand authority, and you have to learn about authority, what authority you have, how you can, how far you can act, or what when you believe you receive, what you can do. The highest form of faith is for a person to believe what the Word of God says and act upon it themselves and receive whatever it is. That's the highest form. The highest form is not getting somebody else to pray for you. That's the highest form. Now, there's nothing matter. The Bible, we know we can get people to pray for us. And we know we can do those things. I just tell people this. Get what you can, dear Lord. don't wait till you die to stand alone when you could have got somebody with a healing anointing and helped you out. It's like, do something smart. You know, it'd be a good idea. You want to do those things, but you want to start to develop your faith. It's just like that woman. Now, just think about this. How long was she seminared? This is one of the most terrible things we have in the church world in America today. We have to be seminared for 50 years. And still wondering if we're believing. One of the reasons the problems is because ministers have not put pressure on people to do stuff. They keep trying to be nice to people and not making them do. See, I can't come here on a Sunday morning and make you do a test. I can't make you die. I have no authority to do that. You can get up and leave and walk out of the place. You have to decide whether you're going to want to be you want to be tested or not, or whether you're going to do it or not. You decide that. My preaching don't. But you're going to have to be tested because God will test you. You're going to be tested in what you're... And if you don't walk in it, you're going to be tested. The devil's going to come knocking on your door. And he didn't come to test you. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you won't put yourself out there to work at things and to do stuff, he'll eat your lunch every time. You have to learn to do it. You have to learn to sacrifice yourself. To do that is putting things out there, is put yourself out there for faith. It's like with over the years, I learned this. There's things that I want or desire that maybe I could go afford and buy, but I don't. I'll set my faith for it. I put myself a test. I put myself out to receive it from God. I don't just because I can get it, I don't get it. Because why? I always have myself out there where I'm using my faith. Most people only use their faith if they consider it's emergency or something you have to have. Then they're going to get it out, and that's when it don't work. They'll go try to drag it out of the closet. It's the old tennis racket that ain't been used for 12 years. And then they pull it out, and they get it out there, you know. And, the, you know, the stuff is sort of, you know, it was old yellowed and it's all that kind of stuff. We get out there. And boy, we're going to play professional tennis now. Let me out there. And they get out there and they finally run around a little bit and 10 minutes on the course and they'll say, we're never playing this again. Next yard sale, it's gone. You know, that's how it is. And that's what most people have done their faith. Next yard sale, it's gone. Well, it is. They say, this stuff don't work. I remember back when, but times have changed, you know. Folks, it's good preaching anyway, and I need it. Because I tell you what, God's been dealing with me. I got to push. I got to stretch the tent pegs. I got to make things. I got to expand. I got to take my faith farther. Can't be playing these games anymore, this nice little friendly stuff. Because that's what you're going to have. We have to have beyond that. We got to go beyond the nice little friendly thing. We got to stretch ourselves out. You know, there's things that people would never say. You know, there's number one, you know, people wouldn't say in front of other people, I'm not going to get the flu. We'd never say that. Well, most people I know got flu shots, got the flu. I mean, the flu shots have been the most worthless things in the world. I said to Wanda, because all of her teachers are always getting sick at school, I said, they take a flu shot? She said, yeah. I said, it's funny, all of them are sick. Flu shot don't work. They're all sick. Do you know, and I was reading a thing about how well these flu shots work. Some years they are only 11%. They only work 11% of the people that get them, it actually works. 11%, and we're spending billions and billions and billions. And 11%? Dear God. My words, more people die than that that took it. It's insane. We live in a crazy world. But see, if you're afraid, and here's one thing, is afraid. See, I see people like, you know, I remember Benny Hinn coming. When Benny Hinn, I don't know how many years that's been now. It's been a while, but Benny Hinn was, but he was up there in Hershey. There were some people, I knew people were going to be going to that meetings. I tried in the worst way to make them a confession. When they were up there, they were going to get healed, but I couldn't get anybody to say that. Well, we're going to go up there and, you know, we want to get ministered to up there and that stuff. And he has an anointing and all this. But they never would make a confession than when they were going to get healed in that meeting. And they swore they were going in faith. There was no faith spoken. All their faith was that they knew he had an anointing. They knew there was healing going to be there. That was their, and somehow they considered that faith. That was nice that they believed that he has an anointing. That was nice that it, but they didn't believe that they were specifically going to get anything when they got there. And you know what? They didn't get anything when they went there. A sinner may get away with that. Christians ain't going to keep getting away with that kind of stuff. But what happens is we're afraid to make a confession. We're afraid. We're fearful. We're afraid. Well, what if I say that and it don't work? What if I make a confession? What if I let somebody hear me say? What if? Got to stretch out the tent pegs. We can't keep walking in this nice little thing we call faith. It's so darn comfortable. Nobody knows we're in it. Nobody knows we believe a darn thing. They just know we go to church once in a while here. And we think they're weird. But sometimes they got as much faith as we got. And their faith is as active as ours. Folks, we got to step out. We got to stretch the tent pegs. We got to go further than what we are. Our confession of what we believe Jesus will do for us, it's got to be a big thing. The church got to start bringing it back to the forefront. Back in the 80s, we had it in the forefront. Back in the 80s, us little Christians coming in the kingdom were a bunch of insane little idiots running around, and God was doing wonderful things through us because we just believed dumb stuff, and people, they're young. They just don't understand. Like a guy told me, the church I went to one time, he said, oh, he said, you'll get young. He said, you'll get settled down. And I said, what, become an unbeliever like you are? Well, he never discussed that one with me again because he's a Christian probably about 40, 50 years and Mr. Unbelief. and was in the church deacon board. He was, you're talking about embarrassment. Poor Stephen. I mean, he was picked because on the deacon board because he was full of the Holy Ghost. This guy, I knew he was full, but not of the Holy Ghost. He was full of unbelief. But, you know, and whoever was on who's ever had the most unbelief was on the deacon board. Folks, it's good preaching anyway. You might as well like it. Deacons don't run the church. Deacons work in the church. You know what Stephen and them did? They delivered food to people who were in the church, the widows who needed food. They did delivering. They didn't. That was their job. A deacon's job is not some kind of place to handle money in the church and all that kind of stuff. That's the biggest stupid. I don't want anybody handling the church, handling the money. It ain't full with the Holy Ghost. 10 to 1, the devil will get a hold of them, they'll steal it. Dear Lord. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. Required to be full of the Holy Ghost in the church. The reason they picked Stephen, because he was full of the Holy Ghost and power to hand out food. Today, we put it into everybody's hands, but anybody that's full of the Holy Ghost. No, you just use anybody. It just don't matter. Just throw it out there. The first church taught you how to be full of God to do something for God. We got a New Testament church. I'm so sick of hearing that, a New Testament. Everyone who would call themselves a New Testament church ain't a New Testament church. They don't believe half the New Testament. Well, I tell you, might as well laugh, smile a little bit. It'll help you. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We went a long time. But I'll tell you what, some of this stuff needs to say a long time for us to keep getting it. I can say, it's like me, folks. You realize during the week how much I go over this stuff and read this stuff? Do you think you'd hear and say, boy, he talked long. You used to have heard me this week. Dear Lord. I've read over and read over and studied these things and read over. Just read these scriptures and read these scriptures. And I read them like I need to learn to know them. Why? Because I do. I need to learn to know them. I need to know so they're just so much a part of me that I don't see or think any different about something. I don't see or think any different. The only thing I see is what God has said about it. That's all I see. That's all I want to see. I want to see what God said. Hallelujah. I need to walk back. I need to redig some wells, and so do you. Some of you need to redig some wells. There's places you walk that you don't walk anymore. You need to redig some wells. Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with that. We miss it at times. But have the good sense to go back and redig the well again. Let's go back to that place and walk again. Hallelujah. Let's walk in those places with God. Hallelujah. I feel so sad to hear people talk about where they used to walk, but they never go back to that walk again. Oh, I used to this and I used to that. And I'm sorry, I don't want to be. I'm walking back in it. Hallelujah. I'm redigging the wells and drinking again. I'm going back to the things that I heard in the beginning. Those wells that are wonderful to drink out of, and those wells that took me to the place where I came to the place where God answered my prayers, where God would do when I would pray, He'd respond. Hallelujah. I want back to those wells. I don't want to walk in those wells. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. I'll tell you what, I'm the guy who will close those wells. I don't want them wells open. I want those wells closed. I want the wells open that bring life. Hallelujah. God will use us. Hallelujah. He'll use you. You believe Him? Just like Jesus, if a person does those things, He said every time they would always get from Him or God the Father what they ask. Every time. Just think of that. Every time. Man, that ought to be a goal to shoot for. Most people would be happy with 50%. That's terrible. See, I've been told, you know, you preach too high for people out here. I'm going to tell you what, if you preach low for people, they go lower. They do less. If I preach 25%, most people will go to 15. If I preach 100% and I can get you at 50, man, I'm going to tell you, you went somewhere. You want a church give you 25%? I'm going to tell loads of them in town. I'll send you off. You can go to them. And by next year, you will be 15%. I'll guarantee you. You'll be just down with the rest of them. Well, if it's God's will, then we'll have it. If it's God's will, we won't. Oh, my word. This man's insane. Hallelujah! I'm crazy, and I know it, and I love it. Glory to God. Father, I want to thank You this morning because, Lord God, You're taking us higher. Father, I believe these are the people, Lord God, They're not happy where they are. I believe, Lord God, they're hungering and thirsting.